Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
So, Anthony, welcome to the Sunday barbecue. We're going to look at Sylvanas today and see how things are going. So how are things with you?
Things are going well. We made a lot of progress since we last spoke within the company. And also there's a lot of activity going on from an M&A and a deal basis within our industry now. So positive from my perspective on two fronts for what we're doing and how we're executing and the value creation potential from us for our shareholders. But also the positive momentum now that we're seeing in the biopharma industry, particularly with big pharma now really paying close attention to what's happening in the neuropsych and neuroscience space.
Yeah, there's lots going on there, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But First of all, did a sneaky £1 million raise at 0.3p there for the AI program. So tell us a bit more. Tell us, one, yes, who are the people who invested, if you can? And secondly, you know, how's that money going to be used within the business?
Yeah, so all I can say about who came in was that it was some of our largest existing shareholders came in. They came in at a premium above market when we printed the deal. So a great validation from our large shareholders of the trust and the faith that they have in what we're doing and the potential and the ability we have for creating value for them. So we're very grateful for that ongoing support. From a use of funds basis, we're allocating and using most of those funds, and will be using most of those funds, to continue to progress and accelerate our AI driven drug discovery and drug development programs. And those programs are focused on identifying and developing novel drugs or medicines in the future for the treatment of a range of chronic diseases that are currently very poorly treated. So specifically, we're talking about depression and stimulant use disorder. And so that would be the addiction to cocaine and methamphetamine. And those are conditions that are currently affect many millions, particularly in America, that have no current treatment, particularly for stimulant use disorder, or have very limited, there has been very limited innovation in the pharma industry for the last number of years, and therefore represent a significant commercial opportunity. So we are very pleased both to have raised the money. We're very pleased to have the ongoing support from our large shareholders. Very pleased that we managed to raise money at a premium to market, which is still a great achievement in the current markets. And we're really pleased on the progress we're making on our AI program. And we're looking forward to having some positive news coming out over the next while as we continue to make progress, discover new drugs, and really, really accelerate those programs. And again, as I said, potentially create value for shareholders.
Yeah, the knock-on effect, both to society and even financial, to the world, if you like, of those type of drug addictions, it's pretty severe. It's not just about the individual. It can really impact society in a very bad way.
So certainly in the US, there's about 2 million people affected with cocaine addiction, about 2 million people affected by methamphetamine or crystal meth addiction. There are no licensed medicines. There are no medicines currently licensed by the FDA specifically for the treatment of those two chronic diseases. There's also significant non-dilutive grant funding available in the US for the research into drugs to specifically treat those indications. We're very lucky in Awaken, which Sylvanas acquired a number of months ago. A scientific advisor in Awaken was Professor Barbara Mason, who runs the Scripps Institute in the US and whose husband runs the NIAAA. And so we are well-versed and we have deep expertise within the organization, adjacent to the organization, in how to access the sources for those funds and how to access them in due course. And then when we look at depression, particularly treatment-resistant depression, affects many millions of Americans. There is indeed lots of research ongoing in the treatment of treatment-resistant depression, but we think what we're potentially on the cusp of discovering with that AI program could be quite interesting for the treatment of those diseases.
Yeah, it's not a joke, but actually to treat that type of depression and even the addiction, to have a situation where you had some form of a drug, ketamine or whatever it happens to be in this particular situation, with some food program and also with the ability to have some counselling, surely it would work.
But that's We're actually, and it's very early stage. So what we are certainly for depression or for stimulant use disorder, what we are hoping to design is a drug-based only program to make it easier for those patients to consume. But it's very early stage. Okay. Whereas what we are designing for and what we are not designing, but what we are doing for alcohol use disorder in phase three in the UK for the UK EU market. And in phase 2B planning for the US market, that's a different approach. That's drug and therapy together to enable people to understand why they became addicted to alcohol and in order to develop coping mechanisms to reduce the probability of relapse. That is drug and therapy together. But we're actually looking at a tr different, trying to develop a different treatment modality for ketamine, I beg your pardon, for methamphetamine, for cocaine addiction and depression. And as we develop that along, I'll keep you and your audience informed on the progress that we make.
Okay, so moving over to the next RNS that you put out, which was the transitional bridging study, it's a US study. So tell us a bit more about this and how that's going to impact the company.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this. This is what I believe to be potentially a very high value, high potential program for us. So let's just look first of all at the problem that we're seeking to solve. We're seeking to solve moderate to severe alcohol use disorder in the US. There's about 30 million people, Kevin, in the US who are affected by alcohol use disorder. Two-thirds of those, plus or minus, suffer with moderate to severe alcohol use disorder. So that's 20 million people in the US. There's 15,000 clinics currently treating people suffering with alcohol use disorder in the US, and they cost the direct cost to the payers, so that's the Medicare, Medicaid from a state perspective, and the private payers, is about $25 to $35 billion a year. So this is a very large problem. Typically speaking, 75% of people relapse within 12 months post-treatment, and people who relapse tend to go back to drinking more than they did before treatment. So this is a chronic, large problem affecting many, many millions of people, and not just those individuals, their families, and their communities. There are very few, if any, effective treatments. And so there therefore is a significant addressable market, a significant unmet medical need for us, a very large commercial opportunity to develop something to treat and cure that disease. So what we are looking to do is we are looking to, in order to de-risk the drug development program or process, we're seeking to repurpose an already approved medicine. So a very large pharma company called J&J have a drug in market, so approved in the US. It's called esketamine. It's marketed under the brand name Spravato, and it's approved to treat treatment-resistant depression with suicidal ideation. J&J published their numbers for 2024, and Spravato is now a blockbuster drug. So that means it's generating more than $1 billion in sales from the US alone. It's forecast to be $1.3 billion this current year, with the peak sales forecast to be between $3 and $5 billion. So this is a drug that is safe and is commercially successful. There are about 4 to 6 million people in the US suffer with treatment-resistant depression. About 20 million people in the US suffer with moderate to severe alcohol use disorder. So what we're looking to do is to take a medicine that is already approved, is safe, and we are looking to point that at a much larger problem, which is moderate to severe alcohol use disorder. We've had a meeting with the FDA, and in that meeting in December of last year, Awaken did before we acquired them. The FDA was supportive of Awaken and now Salvonus doing something called 505(b)(2)ing. So that's the approval pathway into J&J's Spravato. So that will mean we don't need to incur the costs of any of the or the risk of a preclinical program. We've in-licensed an asset from a German pharma company, and they already completed phase one. And during that meeting with the FDA told Awaken that they were supportive of Awaken proceeding straight into phase 2B without the requirement for any further human data, once Awaken had established a scientific bridge into Spravato. And that's required because Spravato is an intranasal spray, so up the nose. What we're doing is delivering esketamine buccally, so against the cheek on the inside, and sublingually onto the tongue. So we need to establish the scientific bridge to esketamine and to J&J's Spravato because we're pursuing a different route of administration. It's helpful to us because that provides IP protection. So we will be the only brand of ketamine, esketamine, that can be used sublingually to treat alcohol use disorder. So we are avoiding the costs by pursuing this pathway. We're avoiding the potentially avoiding the costs of a preclinical program. We've already phase one is completed by the Germans and we've even licensed it. And the agency is supportive of us going straight into phase 2B without any further human data. So that is massive, massive news, significantly reduces cost and significantly reduces risk for us. But what we have to do is you have to establish that scientific bridge. And so what we did is we contracted with a very large contract research organization called WuXi, based in China, very efficient, very good at what they do. And we started that program, and we would hope to have data readout in the coming months. And at that stage, we provide an update to your audience and to the street or to the market. And ideally, if we are successful in establishing that scientific bridge, we would then be able to submit an IND, so an investigative new drug file, to the FDA. And within that would be an application to the FDA to initiate a phase 2B trial in the US for esketamine, oral thin film, plus psychosocial support to treat moderate to severe alcohol use disorder in a market where there's 20 million people suffering with it. And the really important thing is for us, J&J had to establish the distribution platform, the go-to-market, all of that stuff for the use of esketamine to treat treatment-resistant depression. For us, there's already 15,000 clinics in place in the US treating people with alcohol use disorder. So the distribution, the channel to market is already established. Now, what we or a future commercial partner will need to do is access that. But that is, you know, what we're saying is, if you like the sales curve for Spravato, you might want to take a look at what we've got planning or have got planned.
Anthony, I think at this point you should get a bit more excited. That's like six times the opportunity in the UK, maybe more.
I'm trying to be conservative
Okay.
and try, I'm, but you know, our business model is to progress research to a certain point and then to seek to bring in a commercial partner. Because to run phase three trials and to launch drugs is complex and expensive. So what we would hope to do is at the end of that phase 2B trial is to have an asset that would be of real interest, and I mean real interest, to large pharmaceutical companies. Because now this is me getting excited, we have something that's potentially five or six times larger than Spravato, potentially.
And in the UK, you're doing those stage three trials through the NHS. That's correct, yes.
That's correct. We were very lucky. We were able to acquire a phase 2B program from the University of Exeter, where they've repurposed racemic ketamine. So not to get too sciencey about it, but there's essentially a left hand and a right hand molecule composition of most molecules, S-antimer or antimer. Racemic ketamine is both of those together. S-ketamine is the S antimer. So in the University of Exeter, they were repurposing racemic ketamine in combination with copywritten cognitive behavioral relapse prevention therapy for the treatment of severe alcohol use disorder. And this is one of the things, and this again is me excited, maybe I'm just a bit conservative, but people coming onto that trial, Kevin, and I'm an Irish guy, and I've seen what alcohol has done to my society, I've seen what it's done to my friends, I've seen what it's done to some of my family. People coming onto that trial were sober 2% of the time. So that means they were sober 7 days a year. You imagine the impact on the individual, their health systems, so their liver, their kidneys, the total cost to the healthcare system to treat that person for the rest of their life, the impact on their family, their community. It's devastating, right? And there's nothing currently available to adequately treat that disease. From 2% sobriety to, on average, 86% sobriety in the 6 months post-treatment. Never been heard of.
No, 2% sobriety just means they slept in for 7 days. No, really, ultimately, they were drinking every day.
And so the results of that trial were so impressive that the UK Department of Health and us co-funded the phase three. So that program, SVN001, is now in phase three in the UK to treat severe alcohol use disorder. And that's the final stage before applying for approval to market your drug in that territory. And so that recruitment started in July of last year. We'd hope to have the trial completed through the course of 26, 27, data analysis, marketing authorization, and ideally be in market with our own brand of ketamine for the treatment of severe alcohol use disorder in combination with copywritten cognitive behavioral therapy at some stage 28, 29. But I think, as I said earlier, our business model is to out-license. And so we are in discussions to seek to bring in a commercial partner for that program so that we can out-license and reinvest back into our phase 2B program, and then out-license and reinvest, and then reinvest into the preclinical program, and then continue to do that to progress assets forward, out-license to earn licensing and royalty revenue.
So on that note, you're currently worth about 18.5, 19 million pounds as a market cap. You know, there was news there on 30th of July through Reuters. Drug maker AbbVie is in talks to acquire privately held mental health therapeutics company Gilgamesh Pharmaceuticals in a deal worth about $1 billion. Bloomberg News reported on Wednesday, citing people familiar with the matter. So how does that correspond to what you're doing? They were looking at including therapies for psychiatric disorders, including depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder, which is exactly what we've talked about on previous interviews. So, yeah, tell us what you're thinking.
So there's a couple of things. What that means to me is it's a great validation in the sector that Sulvonus operates in, that big pharma is now subject to completion of that transaction. Big pharma is paying attention to what Gilgamesh is doing, and therefore companies like us will be on their radar because other companies will be looking at peer companies. So from a market perspective, from an industry perspective, that's really positive. I think the other thing then to evidence is that if big pharma likes what you're doing, there are very, very large checks to be cut. And then what's really important for us people looking specific, I think both of those are sort of company agnostic, sort of sector specific, in that when big pharma is interested, they will cut a large check. So for example, my chairman, Dennis Purcell, is on the board of a company, and they sold a single asset. Now it's in oncology, but a single asset at the end of phase one, 2 weeks ago, they sold it to Merck for $2 billion total potential consideration, 700 million cash up front, and earnouts. And what's driving that is the patent cliff. So many of the blockbuster drugs that big pharma have are coming off patent in the next 5, 6 years. And that means that generic companies, generic copycats can come in, prices come down. So big pharma needs to refill up its pipeline and refill up its tank. And what we're doing, what our industry is doing in the behavioral health neuropsych space, is innovative. Pharma are recognizing that as per the deal potentially happening with AbbVie taking out Gilgamesh. And then specifically for us, we're focused on addiction. Gilgamesh focused on addiction. We're focused on PTSD. They're focused on PTSD. They're focused on depression, albeit at a far much further advanced stage than us. But we are also early stage looking at depression. So there's lots of positives from an industry perspective, and there's lots of positives from us, and a validation of our business model. And I think, again, as we were just chatting about earlier on, it just does show the value creation opportunity, or the value generation opportunity, for shareholders and for investors when they're looking at Sulvonus, which is listed on the LSE main market under the ticker SVNS.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at the world, and everybody can look around them. You've got addiction, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and within those addictions, you've got drug addiction and alcohol addiction, which obviously are both drugs, but ultimately, this is becoming an area of human existence that is getting worse and worse and worse.
It
And
is.
we need solutions.
We do need solutions. And what we are doing is we are innovating to develop medicines to treat conditions that affect many, many millions of people. And anyone who wants to just consider what that means from a value creation opportunity basis, have a look at the GLP-1s and obesity. Those GLP-1s are not innovative. They were well understood. They weren't discovered by Novo, but what Novo did is they commercialized them. And Novo, I know Novo's had its difficulties, but Novo went from being a mid-tier company to Europe's most valuable company. The largest selling drugs in history are going to be the GLP-1s by revenue, not the oncology drugs. Because what the oncology drugs have done is they have focused on small, narrower and narrow indications within cancer. And there's only so many people that have those indications. And the reason for that is, in the US, you can get orphan drug designation if the indication you're pursuing only affects a small cohort of people, and you can reduce the times to timelines to approval. Novo and the GLP-1s and those companies turned that on its head and said, no, we're going after very indications that affect many, many millions of people. So acute diseases. And that's what we're looking to do. Alcohol use disorder. Millions of people affected by alcohol use disorder. Complete lack of innovation. And what we're doing is innovating with something that takes people from 2% sobriety to 86% sobriety and is validated by the fact that the UK Department of Health and the UK state are co-funding the trial. And we're taking the learnings from that and coming up with something with IP that's more specific to the US market, where moderate to severe alcohol use disorder affects 20 million people. And then we're innovating for PTSD that affects 15 million Americans and for which there's no licensed medicine. And then we're going to continue to innovate for depression and for stimulant use disorder. So I'm really excited about the potential for what we're doing.
You're going to be busy, I think.
Yep.
The last question I will ask you really is to do with the your chairman, as you've already mentioned, was to talk at Lucid Capital Markets. So one, how did that work out? And you know, do you feel like you've got the secret weapon in your company in terms of someone who's going to be able to go and get these deals when and if required?
So is Dennis additive to the business? I'm careful how polite I am, but absolutely. Dennis ran the healthcare franchise for a legacy US investment bank called Hambrecht & Quist. Hambrecht & Quist was bought by Chase to become Chase HQ. And Chase HQ was ultimately bought by JP Morgan. When Dennis was in banking, he was responsible for between $10 and $20 billion in financings across the healthcare space. That's biotech, pharma, devices. There are few people that Dennis doesn't know when it comes to big items in the US capital markets, US private markets for the healthcare sector. So Dennis is absolutely helpful for us. And that was evidenced by the fact that Dennis is sitting on the board of a company who just 2 weeks ago outlicensed a single asset for $2 billion. So yes, Dennis is very helpful. And our journey is, and our destination, not our destination, but part of our journey is about raising our profile with American institutional investors. Have we done that yet? No, we're still quite small, but it's all part of a journey. And if you can get the attention of US institutional investors, and if you can get the attention of the US large pharma companies, well, then that's an interesting place to be. A peer company of ours, Gigglemesh, got the attention of AbbVie, and you can see what that means for them and for their shareholders and for patients in due course. So this is the journey that we're on. And is Dennis helpful on that? Absolutely.
So that wasn't my last question. My last question then is more to do with that, your answer. You know, a lot of the companies in the UK now are talking about going on the OTC market and then subsequently, as you grow, you know, moving to US listings. Is that something that as you grow, you think is a possibility with Sylvanus, or you think London Stock Exchange main market is quite sufficient?
I think London main market right now for the near term is our home. We're a UK company with UK science in partnership with the UK Department of Health. We've got a phase 3 trial that's been run in the NHS. It's been, as I said, it's been co-funded by the Department of Health through the National Institute of Health and Care Research and the Medical Research Council, and it's been executed in partnership with the University of Exeter. So that's today and tomorrow. But into the medium term, I have to look at our peer companies, Compass Pathways, MindMed, GH Research, Market Atai Life Sciences, all in the similar space, all with assets in and around the same level of maturity as ours, market caps 10 to 20x where we are today. So the opportunity to create value, one of my jobs is to ensure I create value for shareholders. So it would be remiss of me to not look at the US market, particularly when my chairman has such knowledge and such recognition of in and of those markets. But for today and tomorrow, London is home, which is funny for an Irish guy to say, but London markets is home. But over the
medium, there's many of Irish in London, mate.
There is. But it's funny, I say like, you know, why are you in London? It's because it's a UK story and it's an Irish guy selling a UK story. But at the right time, there will come a time where we need to look at the deeper pools of capital. And when that happens, that's when we'll be bringing in our chairman to he'll be coming to fore to help navigate that pathway efficiently, effectively.
Very good. Well, listen, I look forward to following this story. I think it's commendable, the type of things that we're going after. I think it could really change society in a very positive way, as well as obviously be extremely financially beneficial for people who are on the journey. But at the same time, it's also going to be financially beneficial for the people who are going to take these drugs and their families, because so much money is wasted, so much capital is wasted, so much time is wasted in a lot of these things. So
so many lives are destroyed, Kevin. I used to work in the financial business in Dublin. The financial district is cheek by jowl with the North Inner City, which is the most underprivileged part of my country, and the North Inner City of Dublin. And I saw for years the damage alcohol, heroin, and gambling have done to the large parts of our society, but up close every day. And the current treatments are just not effective, certainly for alcohol use disorder, for PTSD, for depression, for stimulant use disorder. And that's not bloody good enough. So what we're looking to do is to address that. It's very, very, very rare to get the opportunity to create value for shareholders and investors, but you actually get the opportunity to do some good. And that's really what drives us every day, is to provide hope for the individuals, the families, and the communities who are currently so poorly served by the pharmaceutical industry.
Indeed, indeed. Well, let's hope that all pans out to the benefit of society and everybody else, and obviously Solvana's shareholders. And we look forward to speaking to you in the not too distant. I presume we'll have some more news in August, but the other scenario is that we must go and sit on the beach, because that's important.
Well, I'm going to go and sit on a beach in the southwest coast of Ireland, and judging by the weather forecast, I'm going to have my raincoat.
Make sure you take your umbrella.
Yep.
and not to protect you from the sun either.
No, it'll be an umbrella, not a parasol.
Yes, indeed. Right, enjoy, and look forward to speaking to you shortly.
Cheers, stay safe, thanks.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.